The first lesson, which is also the text for the sermon, is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. The whole group of believers was one in heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they held everything in common. The apostles continued to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with great power, and abundant grace was on all of them. There was not a needy person among them, for from time to time, those who were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds received from what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each one according to what anyone needed. Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you are a living branch in a living vine, what will you do? What will a living branch in a living vine do naturally, without having to be scolded or shamed into doing it? What will that living branch do just by virtue of the fact that it is a living branch in a living vine? It will produce good fruit. In today's gospel, Jesus says clearly that anyone who is not connected to him by faith does not have life from him and does not have the ability to produce fruit that is good in the eyes of God. But then there are the branches like you and me. There are branches that are in the living vine, Jesus Christ. We are in him, connected, because the Holy Spirit has connected us by faith in Jesus. And now we have all of Jesus' life. He supplies us with life. The holy life Jesus lived in this world that we need to get into heaven, that's ours. The forgiveness of sins that Jesus won on the cross that promises us life in heaven, that life is ours. Jesus' return to life on Easter morning, his resurrection, that life is ours. We have the promise of our own resurrection in him. Jesus is life every possible way through and through, and all of that life is ours in him. In him we live, and we live forever as branches connected to the vine. Now, we know we are not perfect branches. We are sinful branches, there is no question about that. And yet, in today's gospel, Jesus also tells us that we have this going for us. And our Heavenly Father is still working on us. The Father is like a good and patient gardener who prunes his branches so that they will produce more and more, bigger and bigger, better and better fruit every time. So every time we branches receive life from Jesus, every time we hear his love and his word, we receive it in his supper. We go back to the waters of baptism and remember God's love for us there. The Father keeps working on us, pruning us. So we branches produce more and more, better and better, bigger and bigger fruit all the time. Now, of course, fruit is pleasing. It's pretty. It's sweet. And the Bible tells us that when we branches connected to the vine Jesus, when we produce these fruits, it's pretty to our Heavenly Father. These fruits are sweet, and they are pleasing to him. Not only do our fruits please the Heavenly Father, they are also proof. They are proof to him and proof to the people around us that we are in the living vine, Jesus Christ. These good things I do, these fruits I produce, I do them because I have life in Christ. So what are these fruits that please the Heavenly Father, that prove we branches are in the vine, Jesus? Well, when St. Paul lists these fruits of faith in his letter to the Philippians, the fruit that heads the list is love. That is the first and foremost fruit of faith. And that is the fruit that St. John, you heard him zero in the verses that we heard from his letter earlier. First and foremost fruit of love. And in those verses, St. John taught us something about this first and most important fruit of the Christian faith, love. One is that This fruit will express itself not just in the way we think about each other, and not just in the words that we say to each other, but most importantly, what we do. It is an active love that works for other people. And second, we heard St. John emphasize that when Christians bear this active fruit of love, they will do it primarily toward their fellow Christians, those who are also connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. Now, we have to take all of that with us today into the verses that are in front of us for this sermon. Because what we are hearing in these verses is a description of life in the early Christian church. Early, of course, is a relative term. If you ask someone in the army what is early in the morning, and you ask a sophomore in high school that same question, you are going to get very different answers. Well, when I say this is the early Christian church, this is the extremely early Christian church. This is in the first few years after Jesus' ascension, the first generation of Christians. They are together in a congregation in Jerusalem, which at the time was the epicenter of Christianity. So here we have a group of branches connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, and we are going to see how they show it, how they produce fruit. The fruit of love is mostly about what you do for other people. It's mostly about action. But thoughts and words are still important. And these Christian branches showed that they are in the vine, Jesus Christ, by the way they thought, the attitudes that they held. And one of them was a way of thinking that anybody who is not in the vine, Jesus Christ, is going to look at this attitude and think, that is bonkers, crazy. But when you do think this way, you are showing that you are in the vine, Jesus Christ. These Christian branches actually believed that their own possessions were not their own possessions. They understood that everything that belonged to them came from God in the first place and was intended to be used in God's service. They actually had this way of thinking that even though my name is on the title for that, it's not mine. It belongs to God. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. How else did they bear fruit in the way they were thinking? Luke says, the whole group of believers was one in heart and soul. Heart is your effort. It's your mission. What is a Christian congregation here to accomplish? What are we for? The soul is your faith, the content of what you believe. These Christians were united in their mission, what they wanted to accomplish, because they were united in their faith, what they believed. And here we see what the primary mission, purpose of a Christian church is supposed to be. It is to proclaim the word of God, especially the central message of God's grace in Christ. The apostles continued to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with great power, and abundant grace was on all of them. Christians, especially those who are called to lead in congregations, they speak the message of God's grace in Christ to build up other Christians in their faith. So already, we see these Christians showing that they are in the vine, Jesus Christ, by the way they think, selflessly with their possessions, unity in their faith, in their belief. We also see it in the words that they are speaking, that they are proclaiming God's grace in Christ to each other. But they were also showing love for each other with their words by encouraging each other. Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. Jesus' apostles needed encouragement as they carried out the church's mission, as they spoke the grace of God. Because preaching and teaching the word of God can be difficult and discouraging. Sometimes it doesn't seem like very many people are listening, or sometimes you wonder if anybody is listening at all. People who do that work need encouragement. And Joseph was so good at this. He gave so much verbal encouragement to the apostles that they actually gave him this neat little nickname, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. So we have these Christians showing that they are in the vine, Jesus Christ, by the way they think, their selfless attitude toward their possessions, their unity of faith. We see it in their words, proclaiming the grace of Christ, encouraging one another. But now remember that St. John's focus, when it comes to the fruit of Christian love, is on action. Christian love works for other people. See, it's one thing for these Christians to think in their minds, my possessions belong to the Lord. They don't really belong to me. But they showed it with what they did. When someone was in need, they would actually go and sell a field, sell a house to meet the need of that fellow Christian. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they held everything in common. There was not a needy person among them. For from time to time, those who were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds received from what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each one according to what anyone needed. Joseph sold a field that belonged to him. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So you may be expecting that it's right about now, in the course of this sermon, that the law of God is about to be turned on you. And you're just about to hear something like this, exposing your rottenness and evil. What you're expecting me to say next is, look, people, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the Son of God, says, if you are a branch in him, your source of life, then you will bear fruit. And did you hear what Jesus said about people who don't bear fruit? It ends very badly for them. Now, we heard St. John say that the primary fruit is love that expresses itself through action. And look, just look at those first generation Christians, how they proved their connection to Christ by producing all this fruit. And that is what you filthy hypocrites better start doing, because you're not doing it now. And if that's what you're expecting to come next, I'm sorry to disappoint you. You know, actually, there would be some congregations where that would be the way to go. Not maybe quite that harsh, but that would be the way to go next. But not here, really, at Trinity Lutheran Church, because Trinity Lutheran is an exemplary group of Christians when it comes to producing the fruits of the Christian faith. But this congregation, for the most part, holds in their thoughts the proper Christian attitude that what they possess does not really belong to them, but it belongs to the Lord and is to be used in his service. That this is a congregation that is united in what we believe, the content of our faith. People do ask questions about God's word, and that's great, but they don't do it in a challenging or in a disbelieving way. This is also a group that understands the mission of the church. The primary mission is about speaking, proclaiming God's word, especially the message of his grace in Christ. It is a group that, for the most part, speaks encouraging words. And most importantly, this is a group of Christians that understands the fruit of love is to be active, meeting the needs of other people. And it is a group of Christians that will be on alert for someone who is in need and then work to meet that need. All of that is true. And the proper thing to say to a group of Christians like that is simply this: more and more. That we need our Heavenly Father, the good and patient gardener, to keep working on us, his branches. We need him to continue pruning us so we produce better and better fruit all the time. And God the Father, our gardener, he promises to do that. Every time we hear the love of our Savior and his word, when we receive our Savior's supper, which we are going to do later today, every time we go back to the waters of baptism and see God's love for us there, he will be working on us, our gardener, so we produce pleasing fruit to him that is bigger and bigger, better and better all the time. It is also worth remembering that there is a huge difference between being exemplary, which you are, and being perfect, which you definitely are not. And the Bible says that anyone who keeps God's law and stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Even one wrong attitude, even one discouraging word, even one failure to move in love to meet the need of another person makes you a thoroughly sinful person who deserves all of God's punishment. And for that problem, we need to go back to what was the heart and soul of the Christian church in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, because it is still the heart and soul of all Christians everywhere in the world today. And that is the message of God's grace in Christ. And we have a Savior who is our righteousness, who lived a perfect life for our sake. And we have God's grace in Jesus Christ to forgive our sins because Jesus died for them on the cross. And we have the promise, the resurrection to eternal life in Jesus' Easter victory. That was the message that the apostles proclaimed to the Christians in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and it's still the message for God's people today. And through that message, God's abundant grace is on all of us. It's also worth remembering that when Scripture commands God's people to bear this fruit of love and to do it actively, working for other people, it directs Christians to do this first for their fellow Christians. Now, of course, God wants us to show love for all people, but it starts with fellow Christians. And the Bible gives us a couple of reasons for that. Our Savior Jesus says that's how the rest of the world, the unbelievers, will recognize that we are in Christ's love. Jesus says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. And the other reason that we start with our fellow Christians is that we are branches in the same vine. We have the most important and special thing in common. We share life in our Savior Jesus. So we start with love here for each other. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's actually easier for me to show love for an unbeliever or a stranger who I have no idea what they believe than it is for a Christian who I know in my own congregation. And there's a couple reasons for that, I think, and maybe a couple of them will ring true for you too. One is simply that once you get to know a fellow Christian very well, it's just natural. It's not good, but it's natural to just start taking them for granted. You don't start thinking about what needs they may have that you may be able to help them meet. And the other reason is I think sometimes it's possible for Christians to know each other a little too well. And what I mean by that is I may be able to remember, because it's hard to forget, when a fellow Christian showed some hypocritical lack of love for me in the past. And that might make it kind of hard for me to show love for them in the present. But God wants our Christian love to start here with our fellow believers. And that means a few things. First, we need to know each other. We need to know each other's names. We need to know each other's strengths and struggles. And if we are going to have this active love, we need to know what other people need, what they are struggling to come up with in their lives so that we can move in this active love to help them meet that need. Our love as Christians needs to start here for each other. Because our Savior Jesus is our life. He is our righteousness. He is our promise of resurrection. We are in him. Bear fruit, especially the fruit of love, in thought, in word, most of all, in action. As you have been, more and more, and most of all, for each other. Amen.